Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He's running for governor of Wisconsin. I do have one question. We were talking about, you know, this moment in history. And I think, you know, looking forward, God willing, the right things happen here in November on the Senate and the congressional side. I think we could be also at a point where, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen. We need Nancy Pelosi ripping up that that speech. That was freaking awesome. That felt so good to watch. But like, you know, right now we talk about telling the truth. You know, right now there's yesterday as we're recording this, there was FBI was going and taking ballots from Georgia to relitigate the 2020 election. We have things going on in Minnesota, Pam Bondi and a psycho justice department. There's just constant misinformation. When you were in those meetings during the height of COVID, when you know, you have Ron Johnson telling people to just, you know, go outside and, you know, do somersaults in the middle of a crowded whatever the hell. I mean, you know, what was that like?
Yeah.
Just trying to tell people the truth.
Yeah, and even, you know, on that,
like in those whole meetings, they're like, what the hell is, you know,
even in that the conversation about truth, because, you know, where we left off when you said, you know, the Trumpism confessor, but, you know, if the truth is there. Now, the truth has always been out there, but we need a critical mass of people who actually have, you know, seen the truth, right, understand the truth, are ready to repeat the truth. And with all the uncertainty that they tried to create about what our eyes actually saw.
Yes.
When you had Tom Tiffany say that the footage, you know, is sometimes grainy, there was nothing grainy about this footage. If they are willing to lie to you about this,
yes, this is wild.
Consider what else you are being lied to about. Now,
so without any care.
Without any care. Without any hesitation.
Right.
They didn't even take time to come up with a lie. They just said a lie. They just said a thing. They just said the thing.
Right.
So to that point, you know, those meetings, like during COVID, like we had to be honest with ourselves. We had to look at the rising rates of infection. We had to look at the, you know, number of people, you know, who unfortunately, you know, lost their lives. And that was a reality that we had to confront. It wasn't the reality that, you know, other people chose to believe. They had a president who said, you should drink bleach.
Yeah. Yeah. Ivermectin.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But leadership is defined by those.
But don't take aspirin. Dude.
It's wild. But leadership is, you know, defined in terms of the tough decisions that you have to make.
Yeah.
You know, were decisions popular? Probably not. People wanted to get out the house.
Yeah.
People wanted to get back to their lives. People had cabin fever.
I'm sure you did.
A lot of people, man, whose lives just sort of stopped. Things changed. People lost jobs. People's, you know, businesses were in jeopardy. And you have to consider, do you see this trend on a graph where rising rates of infections, loss of life? When is enough enough? I don't think that we should look at lives as collateral damage, you know? But the most important part was the work that came afterwards.
Yeah.
Because we could have continued to be a state, and even, you know, getting things back going again wasn't popular, right? Like there were two sides of that coin. People were, you could be upset and frustrated either way, but we wanted to be responsible. And I do truly believe that the decisions that were made helped to increase the activity for our, you know, our small businesses, and giving them, providing grants and support for people to keep their doors open, you know, starting with essential services, then the list goes on and on. And not only was it for that moment, it created, you know, stronger relationships between, you know, economic opportunity and state government, and how we should go about helping out and supporting entities and enterprises, especially in underserved communities. And that's a unique experience I'm happy to, you know, bring to this race. It's just another form of coalition building. It's organizing from a different perspective.
Right. Yeah. And it's, and whoever thought that telling the truth would be such a controversial thing.
So controversial, right? You say something that is very apparent, and you're being told not to believe your own eyes, which is a form of mind control. This is beyond manipulation. Yeah. This is mind control.
Right.
If you have your government that says, don't believe what you saw, believe what I say.
Right.
Think about that.
I wrote that in an op-ed. I said that is the most dangerous thing. And I said this last week. The most dangerous thing that's happening right now is the government saying, don't believe what you can see with your own eyes. Believe us instead.
Holy crap. Assuming control of your own thought.
Yeah.
You know, people are already, you know, let's not even get into the AI conversation about all this. That's another conversation for another day.
So what is this race about? I mean, there's so much that we have. I think it would be cool to, if the right thing happens here in Wisconsin, we might have, you know, a legislature that doesn't, you know, run by laws that were enacted in like...
You mean a legislature that listens to people? Legislature that sees 80% of the people in Wisconsin, 80% plus support expanding Badger Care.
Yeah.
Overwhelming majority of people support raising the minimum wage. Overwhelming majority of people support child care, women's rights. You know, all these sorts of things.
You would think that staring directly at their own mortality, Republicans would be like, maybe we should, you know, switch things up.
It goes to don't believe me.
Oh, my God.
Don't believe yourself. Believe me. I am telling you the thing. That's how authoritarianism succeeds.
Yeah.
And we have had, you know, this isn't, again, another thing that's not new. We had a taste of it in the first Donald Trump term. And now he's come back with folks who are a little more competent in his administration that are being so much more effective at carrying it out.
Right. Yeah. You know, I have to say one of the first dents in my armor as a Republican was when the redistricting fight was going on. And my neighbor was a state assembly person. Mm-hmm. And he would come back on Friday and we would, you know, have a beer and he said to me, I'll never forget this. He said, yep, we're getting new districts and everything. He said, Democrats will not have a majority for the next decade and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, wow. And then I went home and I'm like, man, that's pretty messed up. that's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, that's like one of the biggest forms of voter disenfranchisement is gerrymandering.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been more than a decade, well over a decade. But at this point where people see abuses of power, where people see the heavy-handed approach that this administration is taking the lives of innocent civilians, people who are detaining U.S. citizens, showing up in very sacred spaces, schools, houses of worship, hospitals, courtrooms.
And it's so funny. It's so funny. How? And it's not funny. No, it's funny.
Right, right.
But when the protesters go to the house of worship, they, oh my God, this is, look at, they're criminals. But then we had Pauline Lee on the show, who the whole reason why she put her passport in her purse was because ICE agents are hanging out at Hindu temples. It's fine when they do it.
It's fine. Yep.
Right? That's patriotic.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And on top of it, the waste of resources.
Dude, yes.
The waste of resources, you know, this money that is going into, you know, this rogue agency, this is, you know, taxpayers are putting a bill for an operation that is taking the lives of people in this country. It sucks.
And I want to be clear too. Like we, and the whole reason we talk about telling the truth, we can tell the truth about this too. We can live in a world where two things can be true.
If a person committed a violent crime and they're not in this country legally, all of us can agree.
We need an agency to deal with that.
All of us can agree that a person who committed, like if you commit a violent crime, you shouldn't, okay, yeah, deport that person.
Right.
You know, and the larger problem here is the fact that we don't haven't had comprehensive immigration reform in this country.
1,000,000%.
That has been the need for a generation.
Yep.
And for a lack of it, we have to experience and witness this in communities. Now, I can tell you that both Democrats and Republicans have kicked the can down the road on this for far too long, have allowed this to become a situation for far too long. It felt like every legislative session in Congress was going to be the one that they got immigration reform done.
Right.
We need a just and comprehensive system that provides opportunity and a pathway for folks who are doing the right thing, people who are contributing to our society, people who are making our communities greater, and people who are actually making our lives safer. I think about a teacher's aide, a teacher's assistant, a paraprofessional in Milwaukee, done nothing wrong, no history of crime, was deported last year. Like, there's so many situations like that.
And right.
Until we have comprehensive reform in this country, you'll have the rise of a rogue agency like we have now.
Right, and it's so unjust. And the two truths can be, yes, that is a needed thing, but also, yes, the tactics and the fact that they're, you know, accountable to nobody, that's wrong too.
Yep.
And you would think that Republicans who talked about, I mean, when I was a Republican, oh, we're going to stand up for the tyrannical government. No, you're just waiting until it's your turn to wield the tyranny.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even a turn thing, because I don't know.
No,
that's the other
right.
problem. Like, no, I know. To your point, I just don't remember. Us as Democrats using power as
here we
should,
go, baby.
Which is another reason I got in this race, because, you know, for far too long, people have felt like, you know, Democrats haven't shown up to meet the moment.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, challenged my own party time and time again. I have been opposed by, you know, by more establishment types time and time again. There were like 3 DNC members that endorsed against me in my primary in 22.
Really?
Yeah, 3. I'm not gonna name names, but I can. I mean, it's very obvious. They're on people's websites. Those websites still exist. But the fact is, I have only ever gotten involved because I saw a leadership gap.
Yeah.
I have only ever gotten involved. Yeah. Because of my lived experience, my experience as an organizer, showing up when things were difficult and we were not getting the response that we needed from our leaders.
Well, what an exciting thing to be looking at potentially, you know, if the legislature flips, all right, let's show them how it's done.
Exactly.
What a cool thing.
Exactly. And we cannot show up as if it's not an urgent moment. We can't show up and just be thankful that we have the governor's office and a majority in the assembly and the Senate. We have to have an effective governing majority that delivers real results on day one.
Yeah.
Showing up and being bold, not taking no for an answer, and not being afraid of having a majority and being in power. We have to actually listen to people. And I think we've had a decade and a half of listening.
And the people want this.
And people want this. People want change. People want more. People deserve more. It's not just that they want this. It's that they deserve it. It's that they have worked hard for it. It's that they have shown up 5 days a week, 40 hours, not seeing a wage increase. It's the fact that they've done nothing wrong and have seen increases and rises in their utility costs. They've seen healthcare costs balloon. All these sorts of things.
And one political party is not
about
their ears.
It's not about what people want. It's about what people deserve. And we're going to show up and deliver to them.
We're going to talk about plugging your ears in the next segment. We're going to talk about Mr. Tom Tiffany. All right, we got Mandela Barnes here in the Russian Revolution. Stick around. We'll be right back.